Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9:10. I probably would not be a very successful coach in college football, and I wish I could get on that buyout gravy train, but apparently it's not as easy as one would think. So we're joined by Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, talk about all of that. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on today.
Tell me about the Extra Point newsletter, first of all.
Sure. Extra Points is a publication that covers business, policy, and off-the-field stories that span the entire college athletics industry, from the largest schools in the SEC down to Division II, III, and the NAIA.
And don't forget the Extra Points bowl game.
That's right. Coming up here in just a couple of weeks, this is the second time Extra Points has sponsored a bowl game. We'll be the title sponsor of a Division III game held in beautiful and scenic Canton, Ohio, at the Tom Benson Memorial Hall of Fame Stadium, which I think is a really exciting venue when you're playing in Division III and maybe, you know, used to playing in front of stadiums with 4,000 or 5,000 people.
Been there, and it's a beautiful facility, and everybody should go to the National Football League Hall of Fame if you're an NFL fan. Let's talk about coaching buyouts, Matt.
Yes, it's interesting. This time of year, I always get a lot of questions from academics, sometimes even from athletic administrators, and a lot of fans wondering, like, oh my God, why are we still having these ridiculous buyouts? You would think that in this world now, where universities have to directly pay some of their athletes, that this crazy practice of paying a coach tens of millions of dollars not to be there would begin to go away. Mm-hmm. And based on how this current hiring cycle is going, that's absolutely not the case. There is a real chance that by the end of this football season, there will be on paper $200 million across FBS allocated for coach buyouts. We'll see the real number. You know, depending on revenue offsetting, or might be a little bit less than that, but it's still going to be a record, and it's not terribly close.
So how does this keep happening?
So it keeps happening right now because none of the individual incentives are set up in a way to prevent it. If you are an administrator at a place like LSU or Florida, you don't get promoted, you don't get a contract extension or parade for being fiscally responsible. You get promoted and celebrated and have security if you hire the coach that the major boosters want, or if you're able to cut down nets or raise trophies. Mm-hmm. And that means that you are incentivized to do whatever is absolutely possible to get your guy and be able to tell your constituents that you did it. And, you know, in 5 years, either you're off to a better job, the coach is successful, nobody cares about the buyout, or you're both fired. Like, there's no way to really mitigate that risk very easily.
Is it primarily football?
The gigantic buyouts are primarily football, mm-hmm. not exclusively. You generally don't see 7-8 year contracts in men's basketball. There are a couple of exceptions. John Calipari moving from Kentucky to Arkansas after essentially being granted tenure. Would be an example. Mm-hmm. You see high salaries for other sports, but you generally don't see the long contract length anywhere else but football.
So I'm looking at your story here about Hugh Freeze being hired on the basis of his offensive accomplishments almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
Is Hugh Freeze likely, you know, I guess he's going to ride out the buyout? I don't know. Sometimes the buyouts are phrased where if they take another job, either in broadcasting or in let me ask you first. Yeah. So how are the buyouts structured, and then we'll go from there?
Sure. So buyouts can be structured in lots of different ways. What you're describing right now is something that's called a duty to mitigate. It's in some contracts, for this cycle, I think most prominently it's in James Franklin's contract at Penn State. saying that, yeah, we'll pay you your salary throughout the duration of your contract, but if you get another, you have to look for another job. Mm-hmm. And the difference between your new job and what we were paying you, that's what we'll actually pay you. But that's not in every contract. I believe Hugh Freeze does not have that. Billy Napier, when he was fired from Florida, did not have that. Buyouts can also be structured differently for how much money is due immediately. You have some contracts, I believe off the top of my head, this is the case with Coach Stoops at Kentucky, where the entire remainder of the buyout is due within 30 days. Mm. With Jimbo Fisher, when he was let go at Texas A&M, there was a portion, a lump sum that was due immediately, and the rest can be prorated out over the length of the contract. Sometimes it's spread out even more than that, which is important because then that determines, do I got to ask my boosters or raid my coffers for $32 million in the next month? Or can I kind of spread this out over 7 years where I know if my TV money is going up or if my ticket sales go up, it won't be that big of a financial sting.
So do you think it's likely a guy like Hugh Freeze does this all over again, gets another job? Because I guess the question is, why does this cycle, why do we lather, rinse, repeat? Why are these people why do they continue to get hired? Is it because of, in essence, monopolies by agents? There are only so many to go around. Is it because schools are so desperate? Talk to me about that.
There's a lot of different reasons. And part of it, you're right, there is a quasi-monopoly on established, experienced head coaching talent where really three or four agents represent almost everybody in that world. Part of this, and it's just God's honest truth, is that hiring head football coaches in America is not a complete meritocracy. It is a world where who you know and who you're connected to and who you're tight with particular boosters matters quite a bit. And so people that are really well connected in this industry are more likely to get third or fourth or fifth chances than some folks who might not be. It's kind of funny because, it's easy to joke about, oh, my God, if you and I, if we got $20 million, you wouldn't ever hear from me again. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't keep writing my newsletter. I'd move back to Brazil and I'd send you guys a nice Christmas card. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of these coaches and ADs, this is so tied to their personal identity. It's what they've done their entire life. And there is an ego component to it that they don't know what else to do. And I think people point to someone like Bear Bryant as an example who, died less than a year after mm-hmm. he finally retired. No matter how much money they're getting, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it for the adrenaline rush of winning and running a program.
And I guess maybe TV can offset that. I don't see Nick Saban coming back to coaching, do you?
No, I don't. And Nick Saban's also not 46 years old. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban did the bulk of his career doing it, in a different era. And it's also hard to compare anybody else to Nick Saban because he's been the most successful head football coach in really college football history, certainly modern college football history, because he's cut from a different cloth. But we can look at lots of other people, whether that's Freeze, whether that's Dan Mullen at UNLV now after doing a little bit of television. I wouldn't be surprised to see Pat Fitzgerald or Paul Christ or a number of other coaches who we left a couple of years ago get head coaching jobs this cycle. People tend to get kind of, just like in the NFL or the NBA, they tend to get recycled.
People don't realize Bear Bryant, you bring him up, was only 69 years old when he died. Of course, those Chesterfields without the filter didn't help him any.
The Chesterfields didn't help any. I can't imagine Bear Bryant got a whole lot of sleep during the football season. A lot of stress, a lot of travel. I would say, having been on this beat here for a while, for athletic directors and college football coaches, it's a lot of core morbidities because they are associated with an awful lot of unhealthy behaviors. It's not a gig where a lot of these guys live to be 90.
So it would seem to me, if you're going to have a monopoly, a quasi-monopoly, however you want to refer to it, on the part of the agents, a de facto monopoly,
sure,
on the part of the agents or the small world with the coaches and so forth, and maybe with the athletic directors, you would think that maybe those in charge of the universities could create their own de facto monopoly and say, well, you know what? No, we're not going to pay it. We're just not going to do it. We're going to be fiscally responsible. We're not going to give this guy a fifth chance after 18 buyouts. And I'm making my numbers up here, but you understand what
sure.
I'm saying. But the likelihood of that is not going to happen.
I don't think so, because I don't think fans and constituents would stand for it. And let's use a local hypothetical here as an example. you know, to kind of riff off of what your governor was talking about here a couple of days ago, let's say LSU hypothetically states, we're not going to play this game. We're not going to get taken to the cleaners by Armstrong and Jimmy Sexton anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to go hire the best coach right now from the Southland Conference. We're going to pay him $3 million a year. And if he makes it to the semifinals of the college football playoff, we're going to bump him up to $12 million a year. We're going to put some of that difference into NIL, and we're going to save the rest of it. And we're going to try to drive the prices down. And by God, this is LSU. We have so much talent in the 504 and across South Louisiana mm-hmm. that we don't need to pay somebody $12 million. And on paper, everything I just said is true. And I think you probably could bring in somebody from a good Southland program and have them win football games here.
But
second, yeah, well, go ahead.
No, I sense there is a big but coming. That's why.
There is a big but. I think if you do that, and the second that coach loses to Ole Miss or Texas A&M, by God, there's going to be a state house congressional inquiry. Mm. And whoever is the chancellor or whoever
signed off on that. Not the state house congressional inquiry into Brian Kelly losing to Ole Miss. Yeah. Or Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't think that person would get the benefit of the doubt, because fundamentally there's so much financially riding on LSU football being successful, not just in selling beer and popcorn and parking spaces, but in hotels and licensed revenue and what that means for Congress people here in Louisiana, that I don't think anybody would be willing to risk saving some money and hiring somebody who's not on paper more of a sure thing. It's a difficult political pill to swallow. And if you're wrong, you're not going to have a future in this state. And I'm not picking on Louisiana, right? I'm from Ohio. God knows it's the same thing if Ohio State did this. Mm-hmm. You would get run out of town to Michigan immediately if you tried to go, if they had you know, hired another guy from Youngstown State and it didn't turn out like it did with Jim Tressel.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 9:21, talking to our friend Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. We'll talk about the House settlement. We'll talk about name, image, and likeness at the expense of buyouts and more when we return. 9:21, Tommy Tucker, you got any questions? 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along. Somebody texted in and said, growing lists of schools think or hope they can buy a national championship. There's only one each year, but how do you measure success? Is it just getting into the playoffs? Is that it? Because I don't think the conference championship really means anything anymore unless they'd get you into the 12. 9:21, traffic more. No, no traffic, just a break, WWL. 9:28, talking with our friend Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, about these coaches' buyouts. And, you know, I'm looking at your story here at extrapoints.com about buyouts, more proof that money isn't real, and we'll get to the real nature of money in a second. But I think it's Hugh Freeze's contract I'm looking at here, paragraph 22, termination other than for cause should the university elect to terminate coaches' employment other than as outlined in paragraph 21. I don't see what paragraph 21 is, but I don't know if that's about bad behavior or what, but could they not write these contracts as, tell you what, if you don't win blank amount of games in season one or two or three, or take us here or there or whatever the expectations are, that is cause and you get no buyout? That would seem common sense to me, but of course common sense doesn't always lend itself to reality.
Right. When any of us, whether you're Hugh Freeze or Tommy Tucker or Matt Brown or somebody, you know, working down at the plant, when it's time to figure out your employment contract, you get what you can negotiate for. Mm-hmm. And if a school said, all right, Mr. Freeze, your contract says that you need to win an average of 8 games over a year, over 3 years, or you're fired with no buyout, Mr. Freeze would just say, but the Florida job doesn't require that. Mm-hmm. Or any of these other 11 jobs, including some schools who really want me to come over, so I'll just take that one. And then you end up with your fifth or sixth choice, and your fans scream at you, even if you ended up saving the money. No, everyone is afraid on the school side of the desk to take that kind of hard line.
This is where the ridiculous nature of it comes in. When a CEO is hired for $50 million, why? Because I'm a save the money company. Well, the first thing would be if you worked for $49 million, that would save the company $1 million right there. But
yeah,
moving, that's a company. Let's talk about coaching. It's like, well, you're coming here and you want me to pay you all this money because you're telling me you're going to take me here and you're going to take us there and we're going to win this, but you don't want to base your employment on that. You don't want to base your contract on that. You want me to take you at your word, but you don't want to sign your name to the deal that would affect your compensation.
Sure. And I think if you're a football coach too, I think it's also fair to point out that as a coach, you can control process. You can control to a large extent what kind of athletes are part of your program. You can control what kind of scheme you run, how well you prepare people. But we're dealing with 20-year-olds mm-hmm. who are not necessarily the most consistent or stable people anyway. And football is a funny game. The ball is shaped funny. It bounces kind of funny. And you can't completely control results, which is why, and it's kind of a similar thing here. Like when I sell an advertising package, I don't tell somebody I'm going to guarantee you're going to sell 15 units. If you run an ad here with Extra Points, I can guarantee you the process. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you a certain number of impressions, but I can't guarantee the results. And I would be distrustful of somebody who does. And I can understand why a coach, particularly in the SEC, would say, I wouldn't be comfortable with that. Not that there aren't ways to prevent a Brian Kelly situation. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave the guy a 10-year deal. That's crazy. I wouldn't give professors a 10-year deal. I don't think you should give anybody tenure, but particularly not an SEC football coach.
So what is the going right now for LSU? Say, for example, if they were to try to, and Tim tells me that Joe Brady, I think, is the betting favorite as it stands now. Who knows what that means? Or Lane Kiffin, would they be looking, if Brian Kelly got a 10-year deal, would they be looking at a similar thing with a similar buyout? Because it seemed as though Brian Kelly kind of set the market.
I don't think that a 10-year deal, even for a big-time head coach, is really the market. That was okay. An unusual thing that Woodward offered to pry a guy away from Notre Dame, which mm-hmm. is typically a hard thing to do. But I would be looking at a base annual compensation for an SEC head football coach to be in the neighborhood of $9, $10 million a year easily and with a fully guaranteed buyout. Can you negotiate fully guaranteed subject to offset? Yeah, probably. But I would imagine something in the $10 million 6 year, $60 million total comp as like a bare minimum for this kind of job, especially because of you're entering the market at the same time that Florida and Penn State and Auburn and potentially other really big time schools are. But you're likely to be fishing in the same ponds.
When it comes to name, image, and likeness in universities paying players and so forth, is there only, I know you talked here about money not being real, but is there only so much money to go around when it comes to donors, when it comes to boosters? If you're buying out this guy's contract, then you don't have the money for name, image, and likeness, or for those in that upper stratosphere of income, money is not real and it doesn't matter. Whatever you need, I'll give you.
I think, honest to God, it's really more of the latter for a program like LSU. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there are that many donors or boosters for a Tulane or for a Tulsa or UTSA to whom money is no object whatsoever. And certainly the concept of donor fatigue is real everywhere. If you're LSU and you're trying to do athletic fundraising for anything, you're not just hitting up three Entergy officials who have a gajillion dollars. You're mm-hmm. hitting up a lot of people who are making $200,000, $300,000 and are just regular old rich people. And those folks eventually will tell you no. But when the price of success in a place like the SEC or the Big Ten becomes more and more expensive, I am inclined to believe from the data that we've seen the last 5 years that there's always another rich guy. And we're not close to the point where even an LSU or a Florida or Ohio State will say enough. There's enough people with enough money out there that it's, hey, we need to make a change. I will write a $40 million check to get rid of Brian Kelly. I promise you that money is not coming from Louisiana school children or pensions or road funds. There's somebody in the state or two somebodies who will cover it.
And the other point is it's not going to affect their life. It's just a number. It's just a check. Yeah. They're not going to miss $40 million, right?
No.
As crazy as that sounds.
If they give that to the LSU Athletic Foundation or the university, not only are they not going to miss it, that's a tax write-off. As ridiculous as this sounds, like helping to offset some of these sorts of things counts as a charitable donation. It probably shouldn't, but that's the way things are structured right now. For you and I, if our favorite football team increases prices by 9% and adds an extra dollar for a beer, we're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. But there is a class of people, the Larry Ellisons and Michigans of the world, for whom, no, it's just a number, and I value the success of this team more than I do this eight-figure check.
But even at that, and we'll take a break and pick it up here when we come back, that doesn't guarantee success.
You can't buy success, right?
Nope.
And for all the advantages and all of the budgets and all of the geographic built-in help that a place like LSU has, there's 10 other LSUs. And to your caller's point, before the last segment, only one team can win a national championship.
And there's only so much talent to go around. There's only so much.
All right, the funny thing about football, there's a winner and a loser in every game.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to our friend Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, 504-260-1870. If you got any questions or comments, we'll continue the conversation when we come back. It ain't like it used to be, I'll tell you that. Traffic now, WWL. 944, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. So, Matt, when it comes to, let's take a step back and talk about the salary cap when it comes to college sports, name, image, and likeness, and is there so much money to go around, or how has that changed the nature of recruiting and the market for college coaches? That's a big, long question, but take your time.
It is. What I would tell people is that where we are right now is we have a soft cap in athlete direct spending. If you have $20.5 million that universities are allowed to directly allocate to athletes under the terms of the House settlement. Some of that won't end up being cash. That will end up being expanded scholarship opportunities across the department. And schools have to figure out, all right, how much of that needs to go to football versus basketball versus women's basketball at a place like LSU or Tulane, how much needs to go to baseball. But you can exceed that number through marketing deals. There's a whole clearinghouse that's supposed to approve them to make sure that they're actual marketing deals and not, you know, donor-funded money laundering. But since that is taking a long time, lots of schools are you know, bypassing the clearinghouse. Nobody's really been punished for sending fake deals to clearinghouse. There's not really strong enforcement of that world right now, in part because people are worried about being sued. So it's not uncommon to see football alone have payrolls that exceed that $20.4 million. And it means that recruiting, which was always transactional on some level for elite talent, has become much more explicitly transactional. It's not exclusively. Mm-hmm. Money is not the only reason anybody makes any kind of decision, just like it's not the same reason for why you and I work where we do or your listeners work where they do. Money's a factor. It's not always the only factor. But that's very much a consideration here for building football, basketball, and baseball rosters. And the schools that are going to be really successful.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving forward are not just the ones that spend the most money, but do the best job of retaining the right talent and efficiently deploying that money, just like it is for the NFL.
So somebody texted in and said, how much would I have to, if I called the National League WWL, come work for me in my loser town and loser station, what would I have to put in a contract? Well, I wouldn't leave, so, because I'm a loyal kind of guy, but somebody, and then they texted back and said that the price just got higher. That is what most coaches say to run the price up. I'm not trying to run any price up. I'm being sincere about that. But is there any loyalty anymore when it comes to either coaches or players to the university itself? Or is it all about what I can get, give the money, show me the money?
I don't think it's exclusively money at every single place for every single kind of situation. There are definitely examples of both players and coaches that will say, I will take a pay cut relative to what I could get on the market because I like where I am, or because I like I like my boss, I like my coworkers, I like our team. You know, not every good player leaves from the G5 or leaves from, you know, Purdue or Duke every single year. But even that being said, even if you're a loyal person, there, for all of us, there's a number. where it becomes generational or life-changing in so many ways where you would have to have that conversation. I don't think reasonable fans would begrudge a 19-year-old, particularly when that doesn't come from money, mm-hmm. who might not be getting revenue share 1 year, and if somebody offers $1.5 million, almost everybody would say, yeah, I have to take it. But there are definitely people that are like, no, if I'm making $700 here, and this is a religious school, and I like that ecclesiastical mission, and the French bread north of Louisiana sucks, and I want to stay here, and that absolutely does happen.
Give me a snapshot of where college sports are today as opposed to the days of Keith Jackson. Well, maybe that'd be more than 10 years ago, but maybe 10 years ago and where you think it's going to be 10 years from now.
Yeah, I think that the biggest change, even from 10 years ago, I would say that college sports was still a big money business. Your schools, particularly major conferences, were playing for big money television contracts. The ESPNs and Foxes and CBSs of the world still had enormous sway. Tickets were not $6. But all of those pressures have only increased exponentially over the last 10 years. And part of that is because there's more money coming into the ecosystem from cable, now from gambling, from a larger multimedia rights world. And now there's more pressure to directly share some of that money with athletes. The going rate for a bag man in the SEC 10 years ago is way lower than the going rate for securing a commitment for a really good football player now. And absent federal
law. Wait, say that part
changing,
again?
Yeah.
Say
yeah,
that part again.
Before NIL, right?
Yeah.
If you were trying to convince
a bag
four-star
man.
High schooler, yeah, you'd have to pay them under the table. We call that
right.
The bag man.
Sure.
The amount of money that it would take 10 years ago is way less than it's going to take now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there's institutional capital that's flowing in, and the schools themselves are able to say, we're going to carve out a chunk of that ESPN check we get for the SEC network, and we're going to pass that along to some linebackers and defensive ends, which you couldn't do a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Absent a federal change, a federal law change, or some enormous market crash, it's difficult for me to see that trend slowing down or going backwards in the next 10 years.
So it would get a lot
bigger.
Worse?
Well,
the bigger would get bigger and the smaller would disappear?
There would be a bigger gap between the bigger and the smaller.
Okay.
And college football in particular, I think that gap is already enormous, right? Like, I don't know when the last time a Sun Belt school was meaningfully recruiting against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's happened really since the 70s. In this world, yeah, it's going to be even less likely. The idea of Tulane and LSU going head-to-head for a guy that they both want. Like, that might have been different in the 60s. It's definitely not going to be the thing here now.
Mm.
Whether that's worse, I think that would depend on the eye of the beholder. If you're an athlete, that might be better because you're going to get more money. If you're an agent, you think that's great. If you're a coach, maybe you're kind of ambivalent. Depends on where you're coaching. But absent some structural changes, it's hard for me to see that going away.
Is there any evidence, or is it just anecdotal about regions? Do players tend to like to stay with the regions, or will a guy from Louisiana go to Oregon if the money's right, or a guy from Oregon go to Mississippi if the money's right?
You know, there actually was some peer-reviewed research that we've published on Extra Points before about athlete choice in the pre-NIL era.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the papers that I've shared, there was a pretty strong correlation between region. You know, like one of the most important ways to predict where somebody would go would be proximity to home.
Mm-hmm.
It is different now. It's not 100%, but if the money is right, it is much easier to get somebody from Oregon to come to LSU than it might have been 10, 15 years ago. But region does matter. And I would say that, like, the amount that region matters is a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit easier to peel somebody away from Connecticut because that guy's probably never really considering UConn than it might be to keep peeling somebody away from the I-10 corridor to get him to go to Iowa or Wisconsin or North Dakota.
Tell me real quick about your study you did on alcohol.
Yeah, it's a funny thing in this market, right? Because the idea of selling alcohol at a sporting event in South Louisiana is not some new or novel thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the country is just now starting to catch on to that trend. And now it's almost everywhere you can buy some kind of adult beverage. I filed about 40 open records requests about a month ago to try and get both revenue data and unit sale data for a wide variety of institutions. And I'm doing this again now across the country to see who sells the most. And despite, you know, LSU's reputation, I think, or South Louisiana's reputation as a culture where drinking is a part of the social fabric, they were not number one.
No.
They were not number one in total revenue or in total units sold or anything.
That who was?
Based on the data I have, that would be Nebraska. This is the first year you can buy a beer in Memorial Stadium. Nebraska Stadium is not as big as Death Valley, but as somebody who has lived in Louisiana and is from the Great Lakes region, I will tell you that when it comes to beer consumption, the Great Plains and Northern Great Lakes region, I think, really does stand apart from everywhere else, even our brothers and sisters in Tennessee and Georgia.
Matt, a pleasure as always. I appreciate it. Tell people again about the Extra Points newsletter, how they can get it.
You bet. Friends, if you're interested in what your AD is reading, what your conference commissioner is reading, what your professors are reading, and the smartest fans at your tailgate are reading, you can find that at extrapointsmb.com, Matt Brown EP on Twitter, and Matt at extrapointsmb.com for email.
Pleasure as always, sir. Thank you.
Of course.
We'll talk to you again soon. You bet. Matt Brown. We'll take a break, find out what Newell's got planned for us when we return here on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.